Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Robert Holly with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with First Light Home Care CEO Jeff Bevis, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase, whose powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. Cincinnati-based First Light Home Care, which was just named to the Franchise Times Fast and Serious list in January, is one of the largest home care franchise systems in the country with steady year-over-year growth, with CEO Jeff Bevis at the helm. The industry is rapidly changing, though, meaning First Light, like all franchise systems, needs to keep up. Among its big plans, a new brain health program tackling senior isolation, eyeing Medicare Advantage opportunities, and pushing a conversion model. I chatted with Jeff about his plans for First Light and home care carving out an important role in the overall care continuum. Welcome to Disrupt. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we have a lot to cover during this conversation. I'm going to jump right into things. I want to start by highlighting First Light Home Care's 2018 momentum, then shift into its strategic plans for 2019. We'll also talk about industry trends, of course. Jeff, First Light was just named to Franchise Times Fast and Serious list, which is an annual ranking of some of the franchisers out there winning in terms of overall strategic growth. To that point, I wanted to touch on a couple figures here. Last year, 2018, First Light reported about 20% growth in sales. You also had double-digit growth in 2017, I believe. What have been your keys for achieving and sustaining that system-wide growth?
Sure. Well, there have been several core items, I think, Bob, including continual focus on our franchise development process as far as how we go about finding the right franchise owners, and then staying focused on client satisfaction and caregiver retention, caregiver turnover.
Mm-hmm. And that's in the conversation that I have with most people, caregiver recruitment, caregiver turnover, that's still the number one challenge for a lot of people.
Yes.
So speaking of growth, we've also reported in the past how First Light is starting to push a conversion model, bringing independent agencies kind of into the fold. I think the first conversion was with Heartside Home Care in North Carolina last year, which we reported on. How's that going? That conversion specifically, but just also that strategy more broadly. Do you have any more conversions in the pipeline?
We do. And just as you mentioned, I think Heartside is off to a great start in their conversion with us just outside Greensboro, North Carolina. We have several other conversions in our pipeline, seven right now, in fact, that are in different parts of the country. And we really see that as a major injection of our growth, not only for the coming year, but for probably several years to come based on the fragmentation of the industry.
I don't really know the specifics on this, but I imagine that maybe helps in some states where there could be maybe some regulatory hurdles or barriers to opening up a brand new agency.
Oh, that's exactly right. In fact, in North Carolina right now, conversion is the only opportunity. There is a moratorium on new licenses there. So yes, very true. In North Carolina, for us to add more offices in the short term, this is the only way to go about it because there aren't any new licenses available.
So let's say that I'm a mom and pop standalone agency. Why should I consider converting to First Light? What are the pros and cons for me?
Pros would be you're not in it alone anymore, meaning that you have a support and infrastructure that you can lean back on for every part of the business, technology, branding, operations, recruiting, marketing, you name it. You don't have to come up with your own programs, your own solutions, your own kind of evolution. And especially as the industry is growing, Bob, I think having people be in alliances or being part of a larger brand, larger system is going to gain even more importance. On the negatives, it's they are losing their total independence, but they're still going to be entrepreneurs. They're still going to have their own company. They'll just be part of a larger brand.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there are like franchising fees too.
Correct. So maybe a negative or positive, depending on how you look at it, we see the big draw to them is they've got to grow. We've got to help them probably double or triple in size to just help offset some of that financial cost of them paying royalties. But if they double in size, for instance, to a typical profit and loss statement with an independent, then they're going to drop quite a bit more to the bottom line too, not just to us.
And we'll get into Medicare Advantage and what that looks like moving forward in just a second. But I imagine too that being, like you said, being part of a larger system kind of adds appeal when you maybe go to an MA plan. I'm sure that a lot of insurers out there see that as a benefit.
Very, very true. And with the MA plans, as well as the larger alliance companies around the country, they want consistency. They want accreditation. Right. They want technology.
And also kind of while we're talking about growth, we connected not too long ago. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think you told me First Light was seeing very strong growth when it comes to third-party payers. Could you touch on that briefly? What's going on there?
Sure. The third-party payers we see primarily relate to areas like long-term care insurance, Veterans Administration, and some of the regional and national contracts that span across our industry. So it's not that we're giving up or not seeing growth in the private pay side. We are. We're just seeing even more interest and growth from the third-party pay side as we grow the system. We're in more and more markets, and we're able to attract more and more of these larger regional and national payer contracts too.
Mm-hmm. Medicare Advantage is obviously such a hot topic right now, with I think MA penetrations expected to hit like almost 50% within the next decade or so, according to some projections. More and more Medicare beneficiaries are enrolling in MA plans, and the program itself is becoming more flexible in terms of allowing for in-home services and supports. When does First Light project the real Medicare Advantage opportunity to arrive? And what are you doing kind of at the helm to position the franchise system to capitalize on those opportunities moving forward?
Well, we are seeing Medicare Advantage opportunities arriving now since, as you mentioned, the CMS rule change was effective 1-1 of this year. So we are getting kind of, I would say, more individual inquiries from literally policyholders that are asking about our services. They've heard that in-home care services are now available with their policy. How does that work? How much does it cost? But I think from a plan standpoint, the carrier standpoint, you're going to see that more in the years ahead, probably next year more specifically, when the carriers have had their full normal actuarial cycle time to go through and be able to rate and price it. What we're doing, though, is we're putting all the infrastructure in place now, Bob, with the offices for electronic health record systems, accreditation standards, EVV requirements, because those are all going to be core no matter who the carrier is if you want to play in the Medicare Advantage space.
Has First Light already had conversations with some plans or any conversations kind of on tap for coming weeks?
We have. I would say yes, yes, and yes. I've already had conversations with major carriers. We have more of those that are ongoing with additional smaller regional carriers. So we don't see that it will be either slow or no growth this year. We see that it's just going to be slower than what's going to really hit next year when the full range of carriers are going to be offering it.
All right. I want to shift gears a little bit now. I want to talk about some of the new service lines that First Light has been coming out with. One of those is First Light's new brain health program, which is designed to promote neuroplasticity. By the way, you know, coming out with new service lines and specialized care, that's one of the trends that Home Healthcare News predicted for 2019. So glad to see you're kind of making us look good on that
point. Your crystal ball is a good one. Yeah.
But yeah, can you tell me a little bit about the new brain health program?
Sure, sure. It revolves around a couple different components. We were able to partner with a company called Ageless Grace, which focuses on movement and the value of movement as it affects the brain and the health of the brain. There are several studies done, including one done through the Harvard Medical School that reinforce the neuroplasticity value here. So what we have been rolling out is to both existing clients as well as new potential clients is just incorporating movement and training our caregivers in Ageless Grace and in other brain health services so that we can improve a client's brain health, but also improve their flexibility just physically and helping them move around and not be so restrictive in their home or in their facility, wherever we are providing care. We do see Ageless Grace being a component in addition to our enhanced dementia care training. And then we also have what's called Constant Therapy, which is a third-party allied partner with us that helps us go in and be able to provide basically a brain health therapy plan for any age of client, but especially a senior or someone who's gone through a disabling injury, to just help their movement return, help their flexibility return, and keep their brain healthy.
For those who aren't experts in neuroplasticity, so people like me, the bottom line there is just that, you know, the brain is almost like a muscle where you have to keep using it, have to keep training it so it stays active, stays sharp, especially in old age, right?
Correct. So this is doing even normal day-to-day types of things differently. Mm-hmm. And one of the best examples is if you brush your teeth with your right hand, brushing your teeth with your left hand, and just maybe taking some steps sideways or some steps backwards when you would usually step forward. So these are not complicated movements. You're taking basic day-to-day movements and putting a different twist into them to try to challenge your brain a little bit more.
Why is that something that, you know, from a home care franchise perspective, what's the value there? Is it preventative? Is it, you know, maybe trying to act as a guard against, I don't want to say dementia, but you know, what's the real value there?
Sure. I think the real value is twofold. It's in the well-being of our clients and their families to help them stay more independent, more cognitive, more aware in their home or in their home setting. And it's also innovative in helping our industry and caregivers as well realize that First Light is different and that we're offering new and expanded services.
And you touched on it already a little bit, but ageless grace is something that is separate. It's different than the specialized dementia care program First Light rolled out in 2018 as well. I know that there are some pretty astronomical numbers and projections associated with dementia prevalence in the U.S. and healthcare costs spiking. Could you just tell me a little bit about that program, please?
Sure. And you're right. Unfortunately, the dementia care numbers in the U.S. just continue to climb at a rapid rate, Bob. We wanted to make sure that our caregivers were properly trained in dealing with patients, clients, families that had early dementia signs or early dementia diagnosis. That's not the same type of service, or caregivers shouldn't be trained to perform routine personal care or companion care with a dementia care client, because that dementia care client needs a caregiver that's aware of agitation, how to avoid agitation. You can do even basic care with a dementia care patient that can really aggravate the dementia process and make them very, very irritable and very, very hard to deal with. And then that's aggravating to the family, of course, too. So we wanted to make sure that we, one, had an even more robust training library for the caregivers to better understand how to care for a dementia care patient, client, but then also be able to have curriculum and have services that are designed like the brain health, ageless grace example, that really is more understanding and caring for a dementia or early dementia client.
I think one of the reasons we're seeing more and more specialized care lines, it's not only for the client, but it's also for caregivers. When I go to conferences, when I just chat with some caregivers, they talk about how they really value these training opportunities, how they're developing their skill set. Could you touch on that a little bit?
Sure. We do think that that is a major component of this too. You're right, that enhancing caregivers' professional development, their learning, their education. And again, it helps First Light stand out to them as an employer of choice and a company that they want to stay with for the long term.
And just a quick reminder for listeners, this is Robert Holly with Home Healthcare News, and you're listening to our Disrupt conversation with First Light Home Care CEO, Jeff Bevis. Thanks for tuning in. Jeff, this is something Home Healthcare News hasn't really covered yet, but First Light has also incorporated a new First Light Healthcare Solution service too, something to really help leverage remote patient monitoring and telehealth along the lines of being the eyes and ears in the home. Could you tell me a little bit about that program?
Sure. This is a new offering we're just rolling out later this year that is going to incorporate several different components, including remote patient monitoring and telehealth devices, as you mentioned. So literally being able to have clients in their homes download their vital signs, take a pulse oximeter reading, take a blood reading, then is sent via cell network to a nurse call-in center and is able to be kind of triaged really or prioritized if they have gained weight or retaining water or some other component that of their condition that is a red flag that their nurse over a phone call or their physician's office can direct them or help them early on and avoid a hospital visit or an emergency room visit. So we're very excited about the remote patient monitoring component of this. We have a great new partnership with a telehealth provider that we're extremely excited to be part of and be working with. They have a number of major insurance carrier contracts that we're going to be able to partner with as well. The other services with Healthcare Solutions pertain to, I think, probably more disease specific is probably the best way to describe those, Bob. So this is not home health, to be clear, but we think and see this as being a gap filler. So between what we provide today with companion care and personal care and dementia care services and what the home health providers are providing in the marketplace, we have hospital and insurance plan carriers that are telling us that there's a gap. So the first 30, 60 days after someone's discharged from the hospital, who is making sure that they have filled their prescription? Who's making sure that they're taking their medications? Who's making sure they're eating right? Do they have the right food and nutrition in the home or in the refrigerator? And who's making sure that there's some monitoring going on a regular basis back with their physician? So it will be disease specific, as I mentioned, for third-party payers. We have a number of third-party payers that have already told us that their specific programs with diabetes or kidney disease, that this is exactly what they need.
And you said it's something planned for later this year, later in 2019. Is there a tentative launch date, something that is coming down the pike in the next few months or toward the middle of the year?
It is actually March 1st will be our next pilot launch of 18 more offices. We've had 3 offices in pilot for about the last 12 months. So we're going to be adding more and more offices about every quarter through 2019.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that's something Home Healthcare News will follow up on during when it's closer to that time. I want to jump around again, Jeff. It's a new year, but some of the top challenges obviously remain for home care franchise systems. Mainly, I'm thinking of recruitment and retention, which is always an issue. I think the last Home Care Pulse benchmarking study reported that industry turnover was still somewhere around 60%, around that 60% mark. Is there any relief in sight? Are things only going to get more challenging when it comes to recruitment and retention?
Well, our stance really, Bob, is there. It will certainly continue to be challenging. We do think and see that with more creative recruiting sources and recruiting tools into maybe some more unconventional age groups, demographic groups, that can make a big difference. That's what we have been employing here over the last year and a half to 2 years with increasing success. We do see, as I mentioned initially too, that caregiver retention, caregiver turnover has got to continue to be one of the most important metrics that every home care company is measuring on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. So you really can see, you know, if you're able to move the needle or make an actual difference. Our turnover continues to run about 20-22%. And so that saves our owners employment costs, recruiting costs, saves them time, but also I think is a direct correlation to the client satisfaction. Our clients are just much more satisfied because they're not going through or seeing a turnover in the caregivers.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking thousands of dollars every time somebody leaves and you have to retrain a new caregiver, right?
Right, exactly. I think our average cost that we see, pretty much a standard in the industry, it's $2,600.
Wow.
Minimum.
And when you mention unconventional age groups, you're talking about, for example, groups like recent retirees?
Yes.
Yeah,
recent retirees or retired teachers. Mm-hmm. Some of the industries that have a lot of part-time workers, You know, they still, of course, have to have the more of the cultural and the compassion fit, but there are some new and innovative, I think, areas, pockets out there of folks that would be great, great caregivers.
As always, during these disrupt conversations, we've covered a lot so far. I want to start wrapping things up by asking you about, apart from recruitment and retention challenges, maybe some concerns that you have moving forward. Specifically, I know in the past we've talked about disruption, not to plug our podcast name, and some of the notions about Uberizing the home care industry. I think you've been a big believer that that isn't something that's going to happen anytime soon. Why do you feel that way?
I've been a big believer, Bob, I think from the beginning, in that this is still such a personal service that, not saying we can't and shouldn't leverage technology everywhere possible, but I just don't think it's going to become an Uber type of an app to match a caregiver to a client, with a client or a client's family not having any care about the quality, the training, the background, the consistency of that caregiver that's coming to their home or their parents' home to take care of them. So although I think an Uberizing of the industry is a cliche term and a little bit of a buzz term, we just see the core fundamentals of this business, this industry, as not changing. And that, you know, taking care of people, servant leadership, having great caregivers, paying attention to how you recruit, hire, train, and retain caregivers, and then measuring client satisfaction are going to be hallmarks for the most successful companies for years and years to come.
And I'm just also thinking about industry trends here before we wrap up the conversation. What about private equity's growing interest in the space? Any concerns there, or do you think that the PE interest that we're seeing is generally a good thing?
I do think it's generally a good thing. It's helping raise awareness of the industry, which I think we all need. And it's bringing new and different fresh eyes to the industry, which again, I think helps us all improve and get better overall.
One of the trends that we're seeing is just home care taking a more important role in the overall healthcare continuum. You know, insurers are seeing it as a valuable service to keep costs down, to keep people in the lowest cost setting. Just finally, as we conclude, you know, what do you think about that overarching shift and kind of the rise of home care?
Oh, I think home care has decades of growth out in front of us, even with the labor challenges and with maybe some of the quality challenges that we see in some parts of the industry. We couldn't be more bullish on this industry overall. The opportunities with the healthcare systems, and as you mentioned, even with growing awareness, we just think the sky is the limit. That we're going to need to continue to evolve and keep adding new and different services as the carriers and the healthcare environment evolves too. But there's a lot of opportunity if you do it well in the home care industry for years and years to come.
Any growth targets for First Flight specifically that you could share for 2019, whether that's opening up new agencies or system-wide sales?
Sure. We're going to be in 60 new additional markets by the end of 2019, and we do project doubling in size in the next 3 years.
And Jeff, we always hear so much about the fragmentation within the home care industry. I mean, there's so many different mom and pops. There's a lot of franchise systems out there. Do you see that fragmentation continuing in years ahead, or do you think we're going to start seeing more of a consolidation trend?
We definitely see much more consolidation trend ahead, Bob. I think it's already starting kind of an upturn now, but for the next several years, maybe even the next decade, we're definitely going to see fewer companies in the home care space with the demands of labor and the demands of Medicare Advantage and technology increasing all the time. We have some great independents in this industry. Almost 3/4 of the industry are really mom and pop, but we just see the consolidation accelerating because of all these different factors, and we certainly expect First Flight to be at the top of the leaders.
All right. Well, that's Jeff Beavis, CEO of First Flight Home Care. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us for this conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Robert Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.